Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. AJ goes in a box 2 days from today.
Yes, sir.
And we're trying to raise money for the Chaz and AJ McDermott Chevrolet and Lexus Toy Drive.
It's importante.
Yeah. You'll be in a box for 24 hours.
Yep.
You're going to play the chicken dance on continuous loop.
No sleep for me at all. Nope.
No sleep.
Lots of caffeine trapped in a box.
So we have people, you know, we have a link. I think you could go there now and donate.
Feel free.
I believe the link is up.
Nice.
But every Tuesday, we have a meeting with the boss after the show. And I know today we'll be talking about AJ in a box.
Of course we will.
And so any ideas we have to raise, like, side money, you know, prop bets, this, that, the other thing.
A little side hustle.
We'll have to have those ideas today to present.
Okay, so we got to do it now.
So he could shoot down, yeah, you know, whatever could potentially get us in trouble.
Like skeet shooting. Pull!
Yeah. So this is it. This is our time right now to come up with these ideas.
Are you devious bastards? Where
and
are
it'd
you?
Be like, I donate $100 and AJ has to stand on his head.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Right? So that was an idea from Joseph who posted it on Facebook.
I've never tried that.
It'd be funny to watch you try.
You know what I think? I think you would do it, and then your hernia would rip open.
Nice.
And Bubble Boy would smack you in the face.
Right. Would land on my face. Yeah.
You'd look gifted.
I really would. That's true, yes. I'm like, hey, how you doing?
All right, so you can't do a headstand?
I've never done one.
I feel like it might be dangerous.
Yeah, I've never done one. I don't think this is the age to start. Intentionally?
I don't think the age or your physical condition right now with a hernia.
Yeah, let's scratch that one off. No, right.
There are no bad ideas.
Right, no bad ideas. Right, just
but
ones we have to change.
Not this year for that one.
Right, maybe next year. Bubble Boy's all fixed. I'll be all set.
All right.
For headstand in action.
Okay, so call in your ideas. 1-877-764-2535.
One person wrote, glue a bunch of Legos down to the floor and have me walk barefoot around the entire time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of painful.
Walk on Legos.
Yes.
That was King of the Nerds. He posted it on Facebook.
He's the one who did that? I didn't look at the name. I just saw one. Ow, you cruel bastard.
That's not bad. What dollar value should we put on that?
On Lego walking? That's at least $100.
Okay.
At least. If they want to add more, should I go higher?
Yeah.
I became scared.
Kelly's getting nervous.
It's like that song at the end of Ferris Bueller.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What dollar amount do you want? 100 seems low.
All right.
You'll
okay.
Be on
so
Legos all.
All right. $500. Yeah. I walk on Legos. How's that?
So that's a $500 donation.
Right.
It's not.
Not to me.
Every time we get 500.
Yeah. No. It's a 500. We throw Legos on the floor. I walk on them. You guys listen to me scream.
Okay.
And we'll put it on Facebook Live or something.
All right. I'm going to write that one down.
So we'll need some Legos. Ones you probably don't want back from stepping on them. Well, I'm clean. Just saying. Probably
walk
don't want
on Legos, 500.
Kids put in the mouth and stuff like that. Just,
very good.
Yeah.
You're gross.
Thank you.
You're talking about stepping on Legos and
I'm clean.
Kids putting them in their mouth.
I'm clean.
I'm perv.
Thank you. Perv? No, I don't think so.
All right. Dave in the truck. I'm sorry, it's Dave the Trash Guy.
Hey.
How's it going?
Hello, Dave.
Good.
What about if people donate a certain amount of money? AJ's got to do the chicken dance for so many minutes.
Oh, it should be the span of the song, I'm guessing, right?
What, like the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be outside in a box at night. I say he wears the chicken costume and dances to the chicken dance in a nightclub. We put a fog machine in there. We put bubbles. We put lights. We get a techno house version of the chicken dance.
Okay, now why in a chicken outfit? Why can't I just do it in street clothes? I mean,
it's a chicken dance.
It's a chicken dance.
I'm still doing the chicken dance.
No, we're putting stuff together.
Here. All right. And the chicken. All right, well, someone's got to get a chicken outfit. I can't just pull it out of my ass right now.
He has about one sentence of a fight in him, and then he's like, all right.
Well, no, I'm just saying that,
you know how this
there's
goes.
No time to get a chicken costume right now.
We were talking about that last week.
East Haven has one.
Oh. fine.
All right, we're putting together the menu of torture for AJ in a box. It's not enough to be in a box out in the cold for 24 hours.
Let's staying awake the entire time.
Dance over
yep.
and over.
Yep.
We have to add more ways to make money.
Right, because you guys love me so much.
We're like management. We have to monetize stuff.
Right.
Yeah, how about a big cowbell inside that everybody pulls when they donate $50 for 30 seconds?
All right, let me think this one out.
How about a cowbell? Like one of those like ship bells, you know? Like they have in like some like restaurants and whatnot.
Bong.
You know, the bartenders have that
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, it's like free shot or I just got a tip.
Exactly, right. If you can get one of those, I mean, you know, you can go to like a ship store.
What about a triangle? Ding.
No.
Less obnoxious.
You want something obnoxious, yeah.
Thank you, Brain.
Good idea.
Well, we're going to kind of have that with a sax player, right?
What? Mm-hmm.
What would activate the sax player? Like, what kind of a donation?
Me chasing after my truck? That'd be funny. Him blowing the sax. I'm chasing my truck across the parking lot. A yakety sax. What would enact a sax player? I don't know. We get to 25?
All right. So someone called earlier and said a live chicken in a box.
Yeah.
Well, I cool. like that idea.
I like chickens, though. It'd be cool. Definitely.
In the box with you.
Yeah. Throw them in for a little while.
Until they poop.
They're cute. Until they poop. Yeah. And it stinks by all heaven.
It'll be all over everything you have in there. You set up a little nest.
Yeah. I'm not going to set up a nest this year.
You will. You're a chicken.
Right.
You're going to be setting up a little nest in your box.
This is true.
You have blankies.
I need a
chair.
I need straw.
You usually have energy drinks and water.
I need a bowl of, bowl of water. Big time. Yes.
Mm, a bowl.
Oh, can you drink like a chicken too? You have to go down and then you have to go back up.
I've never seen a chicken actually drink. Have you?
Yeah. Yes, they do that weird thing.
All right, so this is Pat from Oddfellas Band.
Okay.
I scheduled the colonoscopy the day after AJ in a box, so he needs to drink the cleansing potion.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
What? No. No, because I'm going to be like, yeah.
You look like a chicken.
Yeah, no. I won't be in the box. I'll be in the can the entire time. It's AJ in the box. Yeah,
it'll be a different box you'll be in.
Yeah, not AJ in the potty. Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, within seconds, like volcanic. You actually feel the eruption.
Well, first you drink it, and then about 20 seconds later you go.
Like the Turbolax scene in Dumb and Dumber.
It's different now. They give you pills.
Yeah, but those you still have the drink too.
Really?
Yeah, they gave you the pill is like the torch. Like you drink the liquid and then you take the pill. It's like,
oh,
when did you have to do it last?
I don't know, 8 years ago.
Oh, okay, yeah, Amanda did it like a month ago. It's pills that you take pills now.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, don't confuse those with your aspirins.
Exactly.
Aspirin or aspirins?
You can't though. They're gigantic. They're so
all right,
big.
So we're not going to give him colonoscopy fluid.
Yeah, no, I have to stay in the box.
Heather Lee had a great idea.
Uh-oh.
Yoga what? Poses.
Ooh.
With a hernia. That's a great idea. That's a really great idea.
Now this,
I'm going to call this the twisted intestine.
You Christian. Should be in favor of this. This will help you focus on something else.
Yeah, your death. No.
Oh, my God.
So, how much money will Connecticut get from the infrastructure bill? And how many jobs will it create? Let's ask Senator Blumenthal. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Morning. Well,
thanks for coming on. The big money's going to be with the roads, right?
There'll be about $4 billion at least for roads and bridges, about $500 million for the bridges, a little more than $3.5 billion for roads. But there's also money for railroads, $30 billion for the Northeast Corridor, Amtrak, and then $1.3 billion for mass transit, which is not only buses, but Metro North, because Metro North is classified as a commuter line, therefore it's mass transit. And then there's going to be a ton of money for broadband and, by the way, for water quality, about $500 million to get the lead out of water pipes that deliver it from the main lines to your home. These pipes are old and they pose dangers to kids and everyone. So
a few adults out there too.
Exactly.
So the The roads and bridges, let's start there. So the roads, who decides which roads, and will there be oversight? So you saw what happened in West Haven with the COVID money, right?
Exactly. Well, number one, my hope is that there'll be public input, that the governor and his administration will reach out through the Department of Transportation, that they'll have town halls, interactive meetings on internet, all kinds of ways to get public feedback. They have a plan. They have been preparing for years, hoping for exactly this kind of infusion of money. And this money will be transformative in many ways. Think of it as creating a new economy by creating new infrastructure. But public input is tremendously important. As to oversight, yes, there should be. I have proposed some new measures, not only for Connecticut, but for the whole country, because we've learned from many of these big investment programs that there are potential defects and cracks in the way the money is distributed.
Yeah.
West Haven is an example.
Yeah. I think that would be an important part of this. $561 million for bridge replacement and repairs over 5 years. The state can also compete for funds of the $12.5 billion bridge investment program for economically significant bridges. Seems like bordering New York City, we would have some of those bridges, right?
Absolutely right. And think of it, again, as an interconnected transportation system. A number of those bridges, like the ones over the Housatonic, over the Connecticut River, they're essential not only to Connecticut, but the entire eastern transportation corridor, again, for rail as well as for ground traffic, because rail uses those bridges. If one of them goes down, even the Norwalk Bridge,
right,
it's paralyzing.
Pandemonium.
Yeah, exactly.
Will this work go to Connecticut companies or Connecticut workers?
The answer to both is yes.
Great.
There may be some sort of abstruse products that have to be ordered from elsewhere, but
right.
At our meeting yesterday, Connecticut workers, Connecticut companies, they will be the ones on the job.
It should be just a massive boom to the economy, no?
Well, it's going to mean jobs, a lot of jobs. And here's the challenge. The workers have to be trained, and that's what many of the unions are doing. They're stepping up apprenticeship programs, training programs in the community colleges. You know, you can't just put an ad out there and say, we need more people.
Yeah.
They have to be skilled.
Right.
Know what they're doing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So that's a problem that's coming. Right?
It is a major problem for our state. If you had to identify one of the main problems that keeps me up at night, it's not only for this infrastructure program, but think of it, the numbers of workers that we need down in Groton for Electric Boat to build those new submarines. Thousands of workers are going to be retiring. We need many of them to ramp up production on the Columbia-class submarine. This is just one example. And they have to be welders, electricians, pipe fitters, carpenters, again, highly skilled. And unions are providing some of the apprenticeship program. But I actually included $20 million in the defense budget this year. You think to yourself, the defense budget, education? Well, this education is essential to national security.
Yeah, we can't build anything. Yeah. Well, I didn't realize there was, but I know that restaurants are having a hard time finding people. And AJ and I did an event at a machine shop a few years back where they were trying to get people in so they can train them so they can run the machines. This is a storm that's coming, skilled labor.
It's a looming crisis. I think it's a crisis that's with us right now in many respects. And it goes beyond restaurants and retailers. It affects some of our most highly skilled workplaces, the machine shops, the components and parts suppliers, the whole supply chain for our military production at Electric Boat, at Pratt & Whitney, at Sikorsky up in Stratford. They're ramping up the CH-53K, the new heavy lift helicopter. It's a marvel of
technology.
That sounds
awesome. What can that do?
Yeah.
It can lift all kinds of heavy vehicles. It can take massive numbers of troops. It can deliver supplies. It has the maneuvering ability and agility of almost the Black Hawk, not quite, but it can go long distances. It is really an amazing wow. aircraft.
We're not going to lift the box with that, are we?
Senator Blumenthal is on. We're talking about the infrastructure bill and more. You know, somebody was saying, didn't we have a cybersecurity department and the commissioner or the person who was leading the department recently resigned because they said we're so far behind China? And he goes, I can't keep knocking on doors trying to convince people in this government that this is the biggest threat that we have. So besides like building helicopters and stuff, do you think that there's a real need to start thinking about China and artificial intelligence?
Real good point. And the answer is yes, all caps, yes, because China and Russia know that cyber is a very cost efficient way to undermine us. I was going to say attack us because Russia has attacked us in cyber. You know, the SolarWinds attack just about a year ago, discovered not by our government, but by private contractors, a massive invasion of our computers in the Department of Defense.
Scary.
So we need stronger defenses. And the answer is that, you know, you can hire some cyber attackers and do it without massive investments in helicopters or submarines or F-35 fighters. It's a relatively low-cost investment. But we need to be much better prepared on the cyber front. And here is another dilemma. Skilled people, young people with those skills may not be inclined to go work for the Department of Defense. It just may not be their
That's a problem we have, that it used to be honorable to work for the government and now not so much. And now in China, they can tell their version of Google, you're helping us develop AI and you're going to like it.
Exactly.
And they do it. And all the companies get right in line. Here, we ask Google, hey, help us with some defense stuff. They say, eh, I don't think so.
Right. But here's
it's a problem.
But here's a kitten meme.
It is a problem because, you know, some of the brightest minds in the United States go into, maybe radio broadcasting instead of, you know, the United States military.
You're soccer. Good.
I don't know who those people are.
But this is why you always test swell, 60-70%.
You have me at hello.
Now, in China, maybe they would be, you know, behind a desk somewhere with earphones on, you know, 18 hours a day. The Chinese government can direct, can order without leaving any choice. We have essentially, to our great credit, we're the strongest economy in the world. We're the strongest military in the world. We can project military force anywhere, literally anywhere in the world. No other country can do it, because we have the naval and air and other resources. But we sometimes fail to meet challenges because the government can't just order young people. We have to provide incentives. That's the key.
Yeah.
Incentives.
The new war is going to be all over computer and artificial intelligence. I think it'll be less troops and helicopters and more just electronic fighting.
Fought on Facebook.
Senator Blumenthal is on. We're talking about this infrastructure bill and more. The infrastructure bill, when do you think we start seeing that money, and what are we waiting for? Department of Transportation to come up with a plan? How does that work?
The bill passed last Friday night, Saturday morning, so we're just days into it. And as I mentioned, our State Department of Transportation has a plan. I am sure there will be some bureaucratic rigmarole that has to be gone through to get this money out to states. But we are banging on the Department of Transportation, urging that it be prompt right away so shovels are in the ground. And people really deserve and need to see transportation improvement. Let me give you a number that kind of brings it home. The average Connecticut motorist pays $711 a year because of potholes, rough roads, damage to vehicles. You guys drive every day. You know
there's,
what I'm
there's a bigger cost now.
I drive around
the cost of time in your life spent waiting in traffic. That's the big
exactly.
one. Yeah. Yeah.
And these if you choke take points, that number, you, it's I'm much, sorry, much God. Higher.
If you've, have you figured out choke points? Will you be involved in that conversation, or are you going to leave that for others? But we know Hartford going into...
Oh, forget
you
it.
You can't, like, if you're going into Hartford after 3 o'clock, forget it.
Maybe a day ahead.
You know, we know Waterbury, done. 84 going into Waterbury in any direction, God, done. Yep. Stanford, Norwalk.
Oh, forget about it.
Horrible.
Both ways.
Are those the areas you're going to focus on, or are you even in that process?
I'm in the process informally. Obviously, I spend a lot of time on Connecticut's roads. I am back every single weekend from Friday to Monday morning.
He's at multiple events on the weekend. I don't even know how he does it. I'll look at some, you know, pictures from the internet. I'm like, how does he... Do you have a jetpack? How
I'm
do
thinking
you get
cloning.
Around?
Cloning. There's like six Richard Blumenthal's out there.
Yeah.
He was in Hartford at noon, and he was in Stanford
road.
7 minutes later.
Yeah.
He's a magician.
He's got a transporter. It's amazing.
I can tell you where the bottlenecks are, that's for sure.
That's right.
And
we call them bottlenecks.
Views about it.
Well, we appreciate
you
fighting
the
for
691, I-91 interchange in Meriden. You take the Waterbury interchange with I-84 and Route 8, take Hartford, 91, 84. I mean, all this shorthand brings back nightmares for a lot of commuters, I know. But there's no mystery about where the bottlenecks are. We don't need some huge scientific study.
Our problem or challenge is going to be addressing the traffic that COVID brought us.
Yep.
I mean, so many people ran from the big cities into this state.
Now we have more traffic.
It's going to be an issue. I think the only thing that's saved us so far is that people are, you know, telecommuting and, you know.
Right.
Keep it up.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Hey, this supply.
And I think some of that will continue.
This supply chain thing, how do we fix that? When does it get fixed? And the prices being so high, is it because of the supply chain or a company saying, hey, you know,
we can make some money.
If we only make 3 of these and charge more.
Right.
And just say we don't have the workers.
Brilliant.
We make the same as if we make 10.
Brilliant.
The great economic unknown right now is whether this supply chain bottleneck is temporary, like the head of the Federal Reserve, Powell, says it is, or whether it's longer lasting, as many economists feel, endemic to the economy because we've become dependent on other countries for a certain essential supplies and components. I think that there are various reasons. You know, there's a shortage of workers. We were just discussing it. And for the first time in recent history, except for the beginning of the pandemic when people were laid off, we now have more jobs open than unemployed. Think of it for a moment. More jobs than
That's
people
incredible.
In the workforce unemployed. And it is incredible. That's a source of bonding. What will bring people back to work? Well,
they got to run out of money.
Funny hat day.
So funny hat day could work.
Like
write
that
down, Senator.
Right,
funny hat day.
Right, cake on Fridays.
We talked to some people who said, you know, you got someone who was making hourly wages, and then the federal money came in. They were making $600 a week, and then you throw on unemployment and the state on top of that. If they were living home, they tucked a lot of that money away. It's going to be a while before they run through that.
That may well be. People may have savings, but eventually they will run out
right.
of it. And again, training for the jobs that exist. A lot of those jobs are positions that require skills. Some people just burned out. You know, nurses, teachers may be a bit burned out, but I think the frontline workers are hard on the job and doing, as they have been all along, very courageous and diligent work. But a lot of people may have decided they don't want to go back to the restaurant job, that they want to look for something else.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think there are a lot of different motives, and I would welcome other people's views on it, because I, as many people as I talk to in Connecticut, I can't claim that there's a single
right
reason or solution.
I haven't talked to one person,
yeah.
and I'm talking to a United States senator, and we're all scratching our heads like, where did these people go? How are they making money?
School.
How are they eating?
Yeah.
You know, where'd they go?
Where'd they go?
Senator, I'm going to let you go, but before I do, AJ's going to be in a box for 24 hours at McDermott Chevrolet and Lexus in East Haven. I know you're back in Connecticut. If you want to visit him, he'll be there Thursday starting at 9 a.m. and all day Thursday into Friday morning till 9 a.m.
You can't miss me. I'll be in the box.
He'll be in a giant plastic box for 24 hours
like a
listening
terrarium.
To the chicken dance on continuous loop.
Right, like Guantanamo.
Wow, that is amazing. That is amazing.
Raise money for the toy
for
drive.
For good cause.
Yes.
Yes.
For good cause.
How right. much, it, let's just say if you stop
I
by.
I will visit you if I can. I'm going to avoid the bathroom break.
Yes. Most folks would.
If you did show up, how much of a donation would it take to get you to do like a minute of the chicken dance?
You know, I'm going to have to carefully ponder that question.
That means no way.
I don't want to give a snap judgment on
right.
matters of
yeah, run before Congress
and
yeah.
It's easy.
Have a hearing on it.
This is a guy who's argued cases in front of the Supreme Court.
Right. This is the toughest one now.
He's no dummy.
No, he ain't. No.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it. Talking about this Astro World Festival that just turned horrific.
Yeah.
8 people dead, over 300 injured. I know of at least one person in a coma.
Oh, my God. From going to a show.
For going to a concert that's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Look forward to it all week.
Here's the kicker that Travis Scott has, not kind of, has been known to enrage the audience. Like, he gets off on it. Like, it's...
Maybe dial that back.
It's part of the thing. It's like going to a John Valby show and, you know, certain things are going to happen.
Yeah. Known for it.
This was one of those... this is an artist who, you know, it's going to be mosh pit, anger, knocking fences down, all of these things.
Yeah.
So, lawsuits are coming. How bad is it going to be for this artist? Let's talk to attorney Norm Pattis. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
It is a sad situation. I was stunned by it. I was down in Texas when it happened. The state got quiet for a few minutes, but not for long. It's Texas, after all. But, you know, the legal questions are interesting. There are concerts all the time. Events like this are rare. You know, you might see something like this at an English soccer stadium. So the question for everybody is, was this foreseeable? And if so, what steps should have been taken to prevent it? Now, you know, it seems to me that the event promoter, people have sued the event promoter. I'm not sure that those claims are going to go anywhere. I read somewhere they had 745 security people at the event. I mean, short of having a security person assigned to every concert goer, I'm not sure what more they could do. The Houston police had 525 officers assigned to the event. So there were roughly 1,200 to 1,300 security people there to keep order. So I think the focus has to be on the artist. And, you know, if the artist is known for engaging in outrageous conduct and trying to fire up the crowd and inciting the crowd to violence, there could actually arguably be a criminal prosecution. Now, you know, I would defend that him on the grounds that he has a right to expressive speech. And at some point, people are responsible for how they react to it. But it's a very troubling case. And I'm not sure where the fault meter is going to land. You know, I mean, I understand that there have been 14, 15 suits filed already. There'll probably be dozens more. They'll probably be consolidated into some master action. In other words, some large action managed by one court. And it's going to take some pushing and shoving. But it's not obvious that there is legal or legal responsibility for what happened. I mean, after all, you go to a large event. You go to, you know, the defense for the artist and for the producer will be, hey, what did you think was going to happen at this event? This is you went there because he gets you fired up. And if you get enough people fired up in proximity to one another, things are going to happen. Look at the January 6th investigation and the congressional investigation of that. You know, they're looking for someone to blame. But the fact of the matter is we're fundamentally irrational herd animals. And when you put enough of us together, sometimes things go bump in the night. And if you reach a certain critical mass, a certain craziness threshold, things get out of control. They did on January 6th. They didn't use them.
Would that, it's interesting that you say that the crowd should have known because this guy is known for that.
Yeah.
Okay, that flips the... flips it right around on the people going to the show. Like, you should have known, because this guy's known for doing this.
Well,
isn't it like saying, but, you know, the hot coffee, you should have known it was hot. You know what I mean?
Well, so, I mean, and that, obviously that's the McDonald's case. And so let's look at the law. I know the lawyer who handled that case, so I know the case pretty well. We've talked about it. In that case, McDonald's made a decision. They knew that if they sold coffee at a certain heat, a certain number of people would be burned each year by mishandling the cups. That was foreseeable. But that they would have an improved market share over other drive-thrus because, after all, their coffee stayed hotter longer. So they figured if we sold this much more coffee, we could cover this much more claims, and it made economic sense to cover the claims.
It's kind of like what they do with cars.
Yeah. And so at trial, the lawyer said, look, you need to teach McDonald's a lesson, and that is you need to put safety above, above sales. So what would the analog be here, that you need to put safety above expressive speech? And, you know, I think we're in a different area. We're in a gray zone with artistic expression and First Amendment speech. You know, I don't know the artist, so I'm not going to pretend to be able to comment on what it is he says or what he does. I just know, you know, our office is now representing a couple people in connection with the congressional investigation on January 6th. And the investigators are pressing hard. They want to say that somebody is to blame for all of this. But sometimes things just happen. You put a bunch of people together who are angry to protest, and a spark gets lit, and there's going to be a riot. You put enough people in a concert with an artist known to inflame passions, it's foreseeable that something like this would happen. So it's not obvious to me that there's a winning lawsuit. I guess the best claim would be that it was foreseeable that he would get people torqued up, that there were crowd management experts that could have and should have engaged in techniques to manage the crowd in a better way. And therefore, the artist and perhaps the organizers breached the standard of care by not organizing the event in a better way. And had they organized the event in a better way, this would not have happened. Hindsight is always perfect, we could have prevented 9/11 if we knew how to better monitor the country, but we knew what to look for after the event. Do we know what to look for after this event now? Yes. Did we know before? I leave the plaintiffs to their proof. I think it's a difficult case for them.
There's on the homepage of the New York Post website, a giant text or tweet that he sent out. Thanks to everybody that pulled up to Rage and showed a picture from, I think, a 2019 show where people got out of control.
Yeah.
So it was something that he was known for and did on a regular basis.
Like a shtick.
Also, when he knew that there was trouble out in the audience, when there were ambulances out there and he kept going, is that a problem?
I think it is. Yeah. I mean, I think it is. I mean, but, as to the 2019 and the tweet and so forth, we're not talking about people going to Easter Mass. People go to see him perform because he provokes this emotional reaction in them. And so they go to experience it. Now, the question is, how much of that can you provoke before you cross the line? At what point does expression of rage become a crime, or does it become tortious that is worthy of monetary damages? It may be that stopping the show once he perceived this harm occurring is what he should have done, and the fault may fall squarely on his shoulder. Now, in terms of causation, though, his lawyers can argue the damage was already done. You can't say that his continuing to perform, his pouring gasoline on this fire made the fire burn any hotter. It was already a fire. I'm uncomfortable with that argument. I think he'll have a hard time with that in the presence of many jurors.
You know what argument I might take with that would be, he thought if he stopped the show, it would get worse.
Okay.
I don't know.
Folks would freak out more?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, and now we're dancing, now we're angels dancing on the head of a pin. I mean, we just don't know the answer to these questions. I think that I would, if I were involved in the case as a lawyer, I would be looking for an expert on security at concerts. The question I would ask is, how is it that we have hundreds, if not thousands, events across the country where people go and they get very passionately involved with the artist, and this doesn't happen? What is it that is what did those events have in common that was lacking in this event? And if what was lacking in this event was the result of a deliberate choice to fire people up, I think the artist has a problem.
Yeah, he egged them on to ignore security.
Yeah,
he egged them on.
I think you make a good point though, because there's concerts all over the world all the time.
Yeah,
this never happened.
No,
happens all the time at his shows. Okay, now.
Yeah,
let's do the math.
Buying the ticket.
Let's take a look at European soccer matches. You know, they are known to get out of control
from time
to time.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that there'll be some case law there. I mean, that will guide folks. But you know, when you reached out to talk about this, I thought, wow, how little do I really know about this? And you know, what is there really to learn? And I think there has to be some set of standards for crowd control. The question then becomes, are artists responsible for the consequence of their inflammatory speech? You know, to be involved in criminal incitement, for example, you have to urge people to engage in violence in circumstances where the risk is imminent and real, and it has to be against an identifiable person. You know, he might be dancing on the line of incitement. But having said that, I would be very, very uncomfortable to charge an artist criminally for engaging in violent speech.
This point forward,
I don't want to live in a polite republic, you know?
This point forward, anyone who books him at their venue or to promote their tour or anything of that nature would have some real concerns, right? Because now you know going in.
Yeah, have folks sign a waiver.
It's hard to say didn't know at this point, right?
But, well, didn't know what, though, exactly? Because this isn't the only time that he's inspired people to rage, so to speak. But it's the only time this number of people died. So if he's given 100 concerts, and at 99 of them, no one died, and on the 100th, someone died, I begin to look at what was idiosyncratic about this crowd. What made this performance unusual? Because if I'm his lawyer, I show 100 tapes of him, and 99 times people are screaming, and they're out of control, and maybe a couple, you know, black eyes and bruises, but that's what people bargained for. This time people died. Something was different. And that something, you know, whether there were agitators in the crowd. I mean, I read this very, very unusual report of an officer who got poked in the neck and passed out. And there's a suspicion of drug use, of fentanyl, of people distributing fentanyl. It's a very real possibility that there were agitators in the crowd who were the proximate cause, the near cause of this event rather than the artist himself. Sure, he got people torqued off, but he might not have been the one that lit the match. And we don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. Norm, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.